The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Oh, my goodness. You are in the right place for the next 3 hours. Yesterday, we told you the story about outrageous race-baiting State Representative Jesse Johnson. He's stepping away from the state legislature, but he is on Twitter saying that some cops are upset by this bill because they just like to go around killing people. For a state legislator to say this is shocking, but not really when it's Jesse Johnson, who has built his entire political career on just race baiting and absolute vitriol toward police officers. The problem with this is Washington doesn't have enough cops. The reason why we have record murder rates all across the state is because we have fewer police officers per capita than any state in the country right now. People don't want to work in a state where the lawmakers are whack jobs. And whether it's the Seattle City Council or the state legislature, we have a bunch of cop-hating whack jobs in politics throughout this state. So that's why we have fewer cops. And then the result of all of this is we have a murder rate that's gone up dramatically in every major city across the state, record murder rates in many of those cities. And we have a state legislator who says that the only reason some cops are upset with his bill is because they like to go around killing people. It's a horribly irresponsible statement, but the Washington Fraternal Order of Police, the second largest police organization in the state of Washington, has not condemned what Jesse Johnson says, which I find even more shocking than an organization that claims to be about cops, for cops, won't condemn a state legislator who says the cops just like to go around killing people. So I'm going to talk with the president of the Washington Fraternal Order of Police. I'm a little fired up about this, so who knows what direction that'll go. But I'm going to talk to him right after the news at the bottom of the hour here at 12:30 this afternoon. Brandi Cruz will drop by for her weekly visit as well. But we begin today with a Dory Monson Show exclusive.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Oh, this is disgusting. Racism. Rampant racism. Here in the Puget Sound area. And it's happening at SeaTac Airport. And the reason I know about this rampant racism at SeaTac Airport is because a very distinguished public official has let all of us know about this racism at SeaTac Airport. His name is Anthony Chen. Anthony Chen is the director of Pierce County Public Health. And he posted on Twitter, this was a few weeks ago when he posted this. But apparently it's a recurring problem at SeaTac that I just became aware of. Anthony Chen posted, "Happened again at SeaTac Airport," and then he did the hashtag for SeaTac, @FlySEA. So he wanted to make sure the SeaTac officials saw this. "Happened again at SeaTac Airport. Three white people cut in front of me at the security screening. They said, 'Oh, we didn't think you knew what you were doing.' Well, I didn't get to be at Alaska Air Gold MVP," so he's a very important man, the director of Pierce County Public Health. "I didn't get to be Alaska Air Gold MVP by not knowing how to get through security efficiently." And then he hashtagged hashtag microaggression and hashtag racism. I didn't know this was happening at SeaTac. As I said, he posted this a few weeks ago. A listener just brought it to my attention. But I was not aware. And if this was just one incident, well, then maybe it wasn't racism. But if you scroll down from that tweet, and the SeaTac Airport responded to him because he's a public official, and you know, one hand's got to wash the other. SeaTac Airport responded, "Hi, Anthony. We are really sorry this happened. We want the airport to be a safe and comfortable place for everyone. Again, we apologize this happened and hope you had a safe journey to your destination." That's what SeaTac Airport wrote back to him. And then he responded to that. And he said, "Thanks. Has happened the last 3 to 4 times I've flown out of SeaTac." What? So this isn't just an isolated incident. This is an epidemic of racism at SeaTac. So the last 3 to 4 times he's flown out of SeaTac, the director of Pierce County Public Health, Anthony Chan, has had 3 white people cut in front of him at the security screening, saying, "We didn't think you knew what you were doing." And again, he made sure to hashtag SeaTac and hashtag Alaska Air so that they would know that they have to take care of a man as powerful as the director of Pierce County Public Health, because we can't have racism at SeaTac like this. But, you know, it does make me wonder a little bit if this has happened to the same guy the last 3 to 4 times that he has flown out of SeaTac, every single time. And maybe he was talking a little more generically, but if you want to read the letter of his tweets, 3 white people cut in front of me at the security screening. So is this always 3 white people who cut in front of the director of Pierce County Public Health at SeaTac? 3 to 4 trips in a row. 3 white people have cut in front of him at security screening. It seems odd. It seems statistically improbable, but racism has no statistical bounds. But a couple of other questions that I have. It was really necessary to say the race, to say that it was 3 white people. And just, there's a little tip for you, Anthony Chan. If a public official, you know, if say Dow Constein or Jay Inslee or Bob Fergie Ferguson, if they went on Twitter and they said, "It happened again. 3 black guys cut in front of me at security screen." Well, people would say that they were racist. Because what is the color of their skin matter? And it doesn't. What is the color of their skin matter? I mean, the issue is people cutting in front of you. And I don't think there are too many politicians who would say 3 black guys cut in front of me at CETA. Or 3 Asian guys cut in front. But the director of Pierce County Public Health had no problem on Twitter saying 3 white guys. Another question. How do you know they were white? There are lots of people of mixed race and other races that may present as white. Or perhaps biologically they were white, but they identify as some other race. I find this to be very phobic. But it's happened 3 to 4 consecutive trips for this guy. Now, another possibility that one of his Twitter responders threw out is, this is improbable. Are you maybe staring at your phone and the line moves, and that's why people walk in front of you? If it happened 3 or 4 times consecutively, I don't know the answer to this. So, anyway. Here's what I want to do, because, as you know, bedrock foundation of my show is I want to stamp out racism here in my home state. And so here's what I've offered to do. I responded to Anthony Chan from Pierce County Public Health. I responded to his tweet, and I've made an offer. I said, tell me what day this happened, what time of day, and which security gate. And not only for this latest incident, but for the 3 to 4 times in a row that this has happened to you. And what I'm going to do, as soon as I hear back from the director of Pierce County Public Health, about the repeated incidents of racism against him at SeaTac. When he tells me what time, and this should be easy for him to find, even if the incidents were weeks ago, because I mean, he has a calendar, and he knows what time his flights were, what day his flights were. He would know, he'd be able to roughly remember what security gate he was at. So anyway, I have offered now publicly on Twitter, if he tells me what day, what time, what security gate, I am going to file a Freedom of Information Act request with SeaTac Airport, and I'm going to request the security footage for when Anthony Chen was being cut in line in front of 3 to 4 consecutive trips at SeaTac. And my hope is that the security tape will be high enough definition that I or my listeners will be able to identify these three white guys who did it. And if by identifying them, I will reach out, I will try to get hold of them, and I'm going to find out if it's, you know, why. I need to know why these three white guys cut in front of the, did they know that he was the director of Pierce County Public Health? But I will very publicly shame these white people for cutting in line. And if it's happened 3 or 4 times, and it's always three white guys, I assume, that's the way it sounded, that's 12 white people that we got to identify in those 4 incidents. And I'll put their pictures up on My Northwest. I'll ask my listeners to help identify them. And then the shaming will begin. I will shame them. And after I shame them, I'm hoping that society will shun them. But that's the process that must take place. First shaming, then shunning. Okay. So, Dr. Chen, I am on it. The Dory Monson Show is on it. We will not tolerate something like this at SeaTac Airport. And I am working to take a bite out of racist line cutting at SeaTac. So, on it. All right. Now, somebody suggested to me, looking at the text, somebody suggested, well, if he's a public official, isn't victimization the highest goal they can strive for? Is it possible that this didn't? No, come on. We always believe, that's the bedrock foundation of me and my show. Always believe everything anybody tells me, especially if they're government officials. Always. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
And by the way, Doctor, you still haven't told me what day and time and which security gate. So get that to me. The quicker you get that to me, the quicker I can get my Freedom of Information Act request in. And we're on it. Interesting story at MyNorthwest.com by Jason Rance. He was talking about a local elementary school in the Shoreline School District where the principal has decided that he is canceling Halloween. Now, the reason this really caught my attention is because this particular elementary school, Brookside Elementary in the Shoreline School District, is the elementary school that all three of my wife's and our daughters went to. Went to Brookside. But the principal at Brookside now, I don't know this fella, because my kids aren't in school anymore, but John Simard of Brookside Education, or Elementary, he calls Halloween exclusionary because not everyone celebrates the holiday. So he emailed parents and explained that while some children may be looking forward to Halloween, he will not allow any Halloween celebrations, not at his school. He says that that's him being inclusive. He says, if there are some kids who don't celebrate Halloween, then no one can. And here's what he wrote to the parents. Many see Halloween as a fun, candy-filled holiday. They enjoy the community-building benefits that a shared experience can bring. This may be true for you and your family. I can certainly say it is for mine. However, this is not the case for all. Halloween celebrations are exclusionary for students who come from certain cultural or religious backgrounds. And so, to make the school a place for all students and families, he is canceling Halloween. So, I did something. I went through the Brookside Elementary school year calendar. Let me just toss out a couple of these, because these seem exclusionary to me. November 24th is Thanksgiving Day. Well, maybe there are some kids who don't celebrate Thanksgiving. There are some religions that don't recognize Thanksgiving. How can you have Thanksgiving if it may be exclusionary? The day after Thanksgiving, November 25th, is Native American Heritage Day. Some kids don't have Native American heritage. How do they celebrate that? December 17th through January 1st, winter break, not Christmas break, because that'd be exclusionary. January 16th, MLK Day. Now, again, is every child going to be expected to celebrate MLK Day? Oh, it's a day off. I guess days off are more widely acceptable. Now here's one, February 6th through the 10th, Black Lives Matter in Schools Week. Now, is that something that every kid is expected, mandated to commemorate, celebrate? Or is that exclusionary? May 4th, Staff of the Year Awards. What about the staff that don't get any awards? Seems very exclusionary. If you're only giving awards to the top staff, what about the staff that don't earn awards? It's exclusionary. Same thing here. May 31st at Brookside, the retirement reception. There are a lot of people on staff who are not retiring. This is horribly exclusive of them. And then June 1st at Brookside Elementary is the LGBTQ plus and allies potluck. Now, what if you have some cisgender families? That would be exclusionary, I would think, to them as well. So, yes, ban Halloween. It is clearly exclusionary to some families. But ban everything, because everything is exclusionary to the most sensitive among us. And I think we'll be a much better society when everything is banned. Then we'll have kids who can cope much better with life. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, an exclusive interview. The president of the Washington Fraternal Order of Police. I can't believe that that organization did not condemn the state lawmaker who says some cops just are upset because they can't go around killing people anymore. It's an outrageous statement, and I want to know why this police organization has not condemned it. Conversation is next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as you've heard us talking about State Representative Jesse Johnson, he's the architect of the bills that have made Washington the most criminal-friendly state in the country. And we've certainly seen that. Murder rates are at record highs across the state. We're seeing record crime, record number of people trying to evade police. We have car crashes up 31% in our state. We're just seeing carnage all over. And Jesse Johnson has made some very controversial statements in the last day or two. And he has cited the state's second largest police union as supporting his policies. Let me welcome to the show the president of the Washington Fraternal Order of Police, Marco Montablanco, joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Marco, I appreciate you coming on with me today, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so Jesse Johnson, the comment that I've been talking about for 2 days on my show is he says that police are upset with his bill, some police, because they can't go around killing people. And I have not heard an absolute condemnation from your organization about this. And in fact, I've heard you say that you just don't agree with everything Representative Johnson has to say. Can you clarify for me?
Yes, obviously, as an active working cop myself, you know, hearing a comment like that, you know, does put a pause, you know, and wonder why, because we understand that 99.9% of our officers leave their homes every day. They're professional. and they're just wanting to do the right thing, and they don't leave their homes hoping to get into a deadly force encounter. So we understand that. I would love I would hope that Representative Johnson was just commenting based on emotion because of a very heated Twitter war between him and Jason Rantz, but and hopefully at some point he can walk back those statements. But I know at the end of the day, our officers work very, very hard, and we don't go out there trying to or wanting to commit or wanting to kill people.
Well, how is he going to clarify this? I mean, this isn't just some random person on Twitter. There are a lot of idiots on Twitter. This is a Washington State Democrat legislator, a member of the House, who said that some cops just want to go around killing people. You said you want him to clarify that. What clarification could he make that would make that even remotely acceptable?
You know, I think that's, Representative Johnson, needs to be asked those questions. I think that all of us in law enforcement believe that's not accurate, and he needs to be able to answer truthfully what he really
right.
believes in.
And I've put a call into him, believe me, but you're the one who said mm-hmm. that you want him to clarify those comments, and so I'm asking you, what can he say to clarify a comment that some cops just want to go around killing people?
You know, I think the clarification would be that he understands encounters. That's not what they're paid to do. That's not what they get into professions for.
Okay, but why would you say in your statement that we've worked cooperatively with Jesse Johnson, we were surprised by his comments? I mean, why wouldn't there just be, as the second largest law enforcement organization in the state, why wouldn't there be just an immediate condemnation of a state mm-hmm. lawmaker so reckless? So, because I'm trying to defend your profession here, Marco. It's tough yeah. enough. I mean, you have a bunch of lawmakers lined against cops. They've made your job almost impossible. Here's the most inflammatory statement I've ever heard from a lawmaker about police officers, and yet he uses your organization to say, look, even the Fraternal Order of Police don't condemn my bill. Why would you play along with him in any way after all this?
You know, the fact of the matter is when it comes to legislators in the legislative process, there's a lot that we have to consider, because there's a lot of changes that need to be made, and us getting into a war on Twitter with our legislators only provides a further division. We need to be able to get to the table and talk with each other and not about each other. That's what the FOP's approach has always been. We need to be able to fix these things that have been changed, and that make it harder for our law enforcement profession to do their job. And so our job is to go there in the legislative arena and work with our legislators to continue that progress.
Right, but Jesse Johnson's not running for re-election. You're not going to have a chance to sit down with him in the legislative process from here on out. Marco, I'll tell you, I've talked to a lot of cops the last 24 hours, and they are outraged that Jesse Johnson is using your organization, the Fraternal Order of Police, as justification for his bill, and he tied it in with the statement that some cops just like to kill people. Why wouldn't you condemn that? I mean, I really don't understand this.
Well, he's definitely wrong with what his statement was. We, first of all, from two different fronts, we didn't support all the laws that were enacted. We worked hard on trying to move that needle from where they were going to be to where they ended up. Still wasn't fully where they should have been, and we understand there's pieces of it that we couldn't support. But even last year, trying to work with our legislator to move that needle even further, the FOP played a very important role in that. And so, us supporting all the bills is not accurate. We supported what we could and supported the different sections of what we could, but at the end of the day, we couldn't get there on several of them. The comment that was made about our law enforcement profession is just inaccurate. We are not out there trying to hurt people. We are there trying to provide a service to our community.
is there any question, taking on balance? I mean, you say that there are some elements of reform. And every cop I've talked to said, yeah, we're open to reform. We always want to do our job better. To a man, to a woman, I've heard every cop tell me that. But is there any question that, taking on balance, that Jesse Johnson's bill has done far more harm than good? We have murders up dramatically across our state. We lead the nation in car thefts per capita. We lead the nation in police, in people driving away from attempted police stops. Is there any question that this bill has done far more harm than good?
Well, I can tell you that there are many factors of what's caused more harm than good, to include some of our new laws that we've had. But one of the things that we're not really talking about is what the Blake decision has done to our profession.
I've talked about decriminalizing drugs. I'm just not talking about that today, because I'm talking about Jesse Johnson. I'm mm-hmm. talking about his bill. I'm talking about this becoming the most criminal-friendly state in the country.
Well, but there's many factors and reason why our crime rates are up, to include some of these laws. Several different factors, Blake decision, like I mentioned, but also look at our lack of officers on the streets. We're about 20% down in manpower throughout the state. And, if you really put that in the context, having 20% down means that we're not a proactive police force anymore. We're not a proactive police force. We are a reactive police force. And that needs to be addressed. And one of the ways that we're trying to address that this next legislative session is regional academies. Regional academies would greatly impact how people are going to be able to sit behind.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm all for that. Washington has fewer cops per capita than any state in the country. But I would contend that a big chunk of that is politicians who say outrageous inflammatory things like Jesse Johnson's. I mean, here's the bottom line, Mark. I know we're about out of time here, but bottom line is Jesse Johnson has caused a lot of harm, in my view, with his laws. There were opportunities for the legislature to fix some elements, the most dangerous elements, in this last session. They chose not to, because there are a lot of radicalized Democrats in Olympia who actually like this havoc, who like us being a criminal-friendly state. And that's why I don't understand your police organization not just blanketly condemning this and just kind of soft pedaling the way that I've heard you do, saying you want to talk with him more, that you've reached out to him, that you have worked cooperatively. I don't understand how this is going to make our state and my listeners any safer.
Well, I understand what you're talking about, Dorian. And quite frankly, our approach with any legislator, and I understand he's not there anymore, but we need to be able to be at that table and talk to people respectfully. Understand that sometimes these comments only cause more harm than good, which I can agree with that, and our organization can agree with that. These are not comments that help the situation. But what helps the situation is getting into the legislative arena, being at the table, and trying to work on very complex issues, in a very professional manner that would benefit public safety.
I'm all for that, Mark. I just believe that when Jesse Johnson says that some cops just want to kill people, it puts police officers at risk. There are people listening who aren't state legislators who hear somebody they consider respectable saying that cops just want to kill people, and they're the ones who are most likely to act out with violence against cops. And I think this is I'm really surprised that I seem more upset about this than you do. What's that?
Well, I'm a working cop, Dory. I'm a working cop, and those type of comments make me upset too. But where is the best place that we address these things? We need to address this place, all these issues in the legislative arena. Those comments do not reflect what we all believe.
Got it. All right. Marco, I really appreciate you coming on with me today. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Marco Monteblanco, he is the president of the Washington Fraternal Order of Police. I'd love to hear your thoughts about all this. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. The most horrible day in tennis history was in May 1989. The number one player in the world was Monica Seles, just 19 years old. She was already the greatest tennis player in the world. But that is when a madman jumped out of the stands at a tournament, ran up to Monica Seles and stabbed her in the back, plunged a knife deep into her back. You could hear her scream. It wasn't quite caught on camera, but the audio of it was. And her life changed. She was never the same tennis player again after this fan stabbed her in the back. Whenever fans run onto tennis courts or fields of play, it should be taken pretty seriously. You should assume the worst, because the worst has happened in the case of Monica Seles. I remember when the Seahawks first came to be back in 1976, and they drafted a guy at the end of his career, a great linebacker for the Baltimore Colts named Mike Curtis. And I kind of knew who Mike Curtis was. I was a 13-year-old kid when they drafted him. I kind of knew Mike Curtis, the football player, was. But what I really knew about Mike Curtis is one time an idiot fan jumped on the field and Mike Curtis just leveled him. I thought about all that stuff a couple nights ago. Monday Night Football, when a climate activist ran on the field when the 49ers were playing the Los Angeles Rams, and Peyton and Eli Manning were doing their commentary on a separate channel.
Here you go. Oh, yeah.
There he is. Yes. There he is. Nice. Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's what we're talking
Wagner.
About. Wagner.
Bobby.
A veteran, right? Get him down. Now get out and let these guys take over. Oh, Bobby Wagner. Veteran play.
He had some smoke going on there.
Yeah, he's got a T-shirt on. I mean, he's promoting something.
They have some activist and another Rams player and former Seahawk Bobby Wagner, who's with the Rams now. They took him down. Bobby Wagner hit him pretty hard in taking him down. And the coach, Sean McVay, yesterday afternoon, talked about the hit heard around the world, even though nobody saw it. Because and I don't know why. But the policy of all the networks is if some fan jumps on a playing field, they never show it because they don't want to inspire copycats. But the Mannings showed it, and everybody heard about it.
I think that we all know where Bobby's intentions were, you know, and I support Bobby Wagner. That's where I'm at with that. I don't think anybody would disagree.
Thanks, guys.
So then right after I got off the air yesterday, we found out that the guy who got tackled for running on the football field, the guy who got tackled by Bobby Wagner, is filing a police report against Bobby Wagner.
Of course.
He said that he went to the Santa Clara Police Department right after the game, filed the report. He's with a climate group called Direct Action Everywhere. And they took credit for him running out on the field, and Bobby Wagner was asked about it.
It is what it is. I don't really, it's behind me. Ain't really focused on it. You know, I'm more concerned about the security guard that was hurt trying to chase him and the people that was, you know, we don't know what that is, and you just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, any athlete, after what happened to Monica Seles, you better assume the worst if some nut jumps onto your playing surface. So, yeah, take him down, and the guy's got to live with the consequences of being taken down by an NFL linebacker, for crying out loud. Okay, quick time out here. We're going to check the news for you at the top of the hour, and then in the fastest 15, the lies just keep on coming from Joe Biden. The latest one's a whopper. Details straight ahead in the Fast 15 on the Dory Monson Show.